Rain chances continue Wednesday, 88. Richard Wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys had a great weekend and are ready to rock and roll here on this Monday Madness edition. It's going to be some madness. Nothing really crazy going on, but we got a big guest today joining the show. One of our friends here on the program, Mr. Josh Pate of Josh Pate's College Football Show, ESPN, On3, all that good stuff. We'll hear from Josh. It's been a while, so I'm excited to catch up with him. We're going to talk all things Alabama going into this 2026 season. I know Josh spent some time down here in Tuscaloosa. I saw him at one of the scrimmages. So he's laid eyes on this football team. So I'm curious to get his thoughts. I haven't talked to him since then. We'll ask him about that. We'll ask him about the SEC, contenders, pretenders, all that good stuff. And of course, anything college football related, we'll get those questions answered from the future commissioner of college football, Mr. Josh Pate. That will be happening at 11:30 here shortly, about 20 minutes or so. So we're excited to have him join the show. We'll be on the phone lines. I know Josh is traveling today, so he'll be dialing us up on the phone lines. But you guys can always still tune into the stream. I have a nice, pretty graphic set up for him, even though he won't be there on video. Excuse me, he'll be on the phone lines. I have a nice, pretty graphic, you guys, and tune into the stream, all that good stuff. Drop your questions. I got, you know, a number of questions I plan on asking Josh, but if you guys want, drop your questions. Maybe we'll have time to get one or two of those in if time allows. We'll have to see on that. And, of course, we'll dive into other topics. 205-342-9904. We'd love to get y'all's thoughts on anything we're talking about and discussing, especially after we talk with Mr. Pate at 11:30. So make sure you guys dial us up or tune into the streams. You can always check those out on YouTube, on X, and on Facebook at the Tide 100.9 Facebook page as well. I always urge you guys, though, go on over to our YouTube channel and subscribe. Why? Well, not only do we stream over there, kind of like we do on other platforms. However, on YouTube, we also post additional content, and it is free as of now. I'm not gonna lie, Chase. Hey, that price might have to go up, Chase. We're dropping some heat right now. Listen, we brought back the new breakdown series. We've done a breakdown on Alabama's defense, just kind of as a whole. Collectively, went through some clips for the first episode. Second one, we broke down the running game, and then listen, I really leaned into the positive, right? I really leaned into why it should improve. And I say it's going to be drastic. We might go from 125th to maybe 115th. That's still improvement. But we talked about why it should improve in 2026. I thought that was a pretty good video. But this time, Chase, this week, right, we're going to come back with another episode. I'm excited about this one because we're going back to defense, right? Defense, that's my thing, man. I mean, talking the run game is all fun and stuff. But listen, I'm a defensive guy. We all know that. I'm breaking down the secondary this week. And listen, I done got my notes, Chase. See, I'm bringing it back old school, man. I'm bringing back the pen, the paper. I'm talking about I'm taking notes. I got everything ready. We just got to record the video now. But I've been watching Alabama secondary, and I'm really going to focus in on, like, you know, the starters, right? The top five guys that we anticipate seeing. Then we'll discuss a little bit of some of those guys that also will be on the field contributing some. But make sure you guys stay tuned for that. So make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube at The Miller's Edge. That's where you'll find the video. I'm going to record it today. Probably going to drop it maybe tomorrow. Sometimes I get eager, Chase, and I got to drop it ASAP. Could be a surprise drop tonight. I don't know. Probably leaning towards tomorrow. But make sure you guys tune in for that because I promise you're going to enjoy it. A lot to be excited about with this secondary. We always talk about Alabama having potentially one of the best secondaries, of course, in the conference, but maybe in the country. Notre Dame is definitely up there. Some people probably have them as the top secondary. But when you look at it, Xavier Brown, you look at Dejon Lee, you know, Bray Hubbard, the turnover machine. You got Sad back there, who is a veteran. I think he's like the only guy on the team now that I guess can say he's won a national championship. Now, granted, that was with Michigan, but he's a leader on that defense, very versatile. And of course, you got Mr. Black Force Energy, man. Red Morgan, how can't you love and appreciate the way that dude plays football? So I've been watching these guys like all weekend, got my notes ready. Now we just got to record it. So make sure you stay tuned for that because it's going to be a good breakdown. We're really going to dive into coverages, talk about these guys and their traits specifically, what makes this secondary so special. So make sure you guys tune into that. I'm really excited about this breakdown at the Miller's Edge on YouTube there. Like I said, it's free now, Chase. So make sure you get it while it's free, because who knows? If we keep this up, we might have to do a little subscription service or something, because listen, this is all excitement for the season. Best believe, once the season gets here, we're going to be doing breakdowns each and every week on every single game. Every single detail you can think of, we're bringing it to you. We're turning up the heat here on the Miller's Edge. Make sure you guys are ready for that. I'm super fired up about that. All we ask is show us some love, man. And it kind of worked. Last week, Chase, I made a call for that. I'm like, hey, man, I'm spending all this time and doing these breakdowns. And listen, YouTube don't really like when you put the film on the screen. Man, I'm doing it for you guys. That's a big deal. So just drop a like. Drop a comment, and it, people are showing love, so I appreciate that. I appreciate all you guys, seriously, especially all of our consistent listeners, all our people on YouTube, X, Tide 100.9, of course. Man, I appreciate all you guys, because you guys make this possible, and we've been growing. We're doing some fun stuff. We got some big stuff planned. Obviously, you guys can see kind of what's going on. We have more guests. We got Josh Pate at 11:30, but really looking forward to this football season, man. I feel re-energized when it comes to this. I don't know, football and breaking it down, Chase, man. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Diving back into this tape has been so good for me, man. Like, I'm really enjoying it, man. I'm really enjoying it. So it's been fun. I've enjoyed it, and I appreciate you guys supporting it, because that allows me to do it for you guys. Chase, over the weekend, man, outside of football real quick, because we got plenty of football to talk about. We had one of the most legendary comebacks, or what was supposed to be one of the most legendary comebacks in the UFC. Conor McGregor, 5 years outside of the octagon. Everybody talking about it, right? Versus Max Holloway, number two. These guys going at it. It lasted maybe 15 seconds, Chase. Maybe 15 seconds. What appeared to be, I thought Conor was just slipping repeatedly. I was like, man, like, bro, he's so eager, bro. Maybe he's got some grease on his feet. Maybe his feet are sweating. You know, he's a little stressed or nervous. You get to sweat. Maybe he has a lot of sweat on his feet. Maybe I was thinking he was slipping. Then I realized, I'm like, man, this guy's, he's hurt. I see Max pointing it out. They called the fight, Chase. I was in disbelief, man, as was probably the rest of the world watching this fight. Again, I mean, Conor McGregor, one of the, you know, the biggest names in UFC history. I know he's got a bad background. Listen, I'm not saying he's a great person, but in terms of, you know, the UFC and kind of paving the way for big fights, at least like when I was in college, it was a big thing. You know, Keaton Anderson, Richie Pettibone, some of my teammates, they used to put the fights on the TV, and all the guys from the football team. It was one of the things we used to do to bond, man. We used to go watch the McGregor fights, man. And so to see him back in there and then to see it go down like that, man, I was sick, man. I was sick for all the people that put money on the line. Now, I think there are some services that had like some insurance thing, so they probably gave the money back. But I most importantly was sick for Conor McGregor, because, I mean, this guy was coming. I remember he broke his leg. He's got like a titanium rod. He's been out for years. And to know the work that went into his comeback, and then for you to literally, I'm not going to say blow it, no pun intended, but he literally blew his knee by throwing that kick to open things up. And now you got the conspiracy theorists on the internet. Everybody's slow-moing videos of, hey, he was injured before the fight. Now we're even seeing TMZ or Hollywood Fix videos come out, dude visiting the medical facility, which definitely looks a little interesting. I mean, I'll admit it. It looks a little interesting. But here's the thing. A lot of guys, especially I'm sure fighters, I know football players, like before you got games, man, you want to get, you know, massages. You want to get some good treatment. You want to feel your best going into it. I mean, I think that's very realistic of a possibility that was going on. And then people mentioned, like, when he was taking off, I think his shoes or maybe his gear, right, when he was about to get checked before entering the ring, he kind of hopped a little bit. I'm like, all right, people are reaching. He lost his balance. You ever, you know, you're undressing, right? Not to be weird or anything. You undress or whatever, your pant leg catches, whatever. You hop on one foot or something, or you're taking your shoes off, you kind of hop on one. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what we saw in that clip. Personally, I don't think he was injured pre-fight. Now, I will say this. You know, if you're going to blow your knee like that, number one, I've seen that happen, knock on wood, you know, in football, right? Non-contact injuries, guys are just running and boom. It looks like the sniper got him. I think what could have been the case, guys, is that he didn't necessarily have an injured knee, like a torn ACL maybe, or maybe he didn't know. Maybe there was a slight tear that he didn't know about. I'm thinking maybe he could have had some stiffness. Maybe he could have, you get what I'm saying, guys? Like, sometimes before something big like that happens, there might be some little indicators, and it might not even exactly be on that, because the way the body works, when one thing is out of whack, the rest of it kind of gets out of whack, right? For example, you know, I always had a bad core. I never had real strong core muscles. I used to walk around flexing my abs at the pool and stuff because I was skinny, and I guess my genetics, right? I didn't really do a bunch of ab work. And so I thought I was good. But when we would do these functional tests at Alabama, the first thing they always would tell me is, hey, man, when you do your core test, your core is really weak, man, and you're vulnerable for other injuries. And I'm like, man, I got an 8-pack going on, man. I'm like, it can't be that bad. But sure enough, one of the leading causes of soft tissue injuries, get this, things like a weak core, right? If your hamstrings are tight, what does that do? That pulls on your back, right? So a lot of times you can fix back issues by working on the hamstrings. Everything starts from the ground up. Ankle issues can lead to a lot of problems, right? Hey, listen, I see you guys give me a thumbs up. Listen, hey, I paid attention to school. Now, my undergrad is exercise science. Now, I Dr. Miller here. I know, okay, I'm not a doctor, but I know a little bit about the human body and the way it works, right? So I could totally see a world where he was training hard, man, getting after it. It may be there was a little wear and tear. And here's the other thing, I wouldn't be shocked. He has that titanium. And I haven't seen people talk about it. I need to tweet this because people probably would get behind what I'm saying here because it might be right. I'm sure a doctor would agree. You know, he's got that titanium rod in his left leg. I wouldn't be shocked here if sometimes the other thing that happens, guys, is when you overcompensate, right? Like say like he's got an injured left leg. Maybe his body naturally kind of was overcompensating on that right side, put a little bit more stress there. Could have been something like that. You know, you just don't know. But anyway, definitely hated that for him. But I will say this, the other fights were good. Other fights were good. Shout out to Patty the Batty. That was a fun one. I mean, that submission was sick, man. He was like a spider on that dude. It was kind of crazy. The whole entrance, I mean, he had everybody going crazy. There's a number of good fights, though. I mean, Gable, another guy with kind of a bad background, but he's a hell of an athlete. I remember him, you know, from college wrestling, and he did the WWE thing. All that. Anyway, had some good fights over the weekend, so just wanted to mention that. I know we got some folks in the chat that like talking UFC, fighting, all that good stuff. But anyway, if you guys watched it, what'd you think of that? Do you guys think Conor McGregor was injured going into that fight, or you think it was legit? I think it was legit, and I really feel bad if you saw him tweet, man. He's in a dark spot. So let's pray for Conor McGregor, because, I mean, he seems like he's in a rough spot, which I can understand. Like, that's heartbreaking. But the good news is, man, he's a fighter, right? Literally, he's a fighter. He's bounced back from, I would probably assume, worse. I mean, a titanium rod in your leg is pretty crazy. I mean, a lot of people have knee injuries, and they bounce back pretty solid, so... We'll see kind of what happens. Hopefully they can run it back and get themselves a good, I guess, third fight, even though I wouldn't even really count the second one. I guess fight 2.5, maybe. I don't know. But we do have to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll have a short little break here, kind of warm things up before we get Mr. Josh Pate of Josh Pate's College Football Show here on the lines at 11:30. We're about 8-9 minutes or so out. So make sure you guys tune in for that again. If you got any questions, can't guarantee that we'll be able to talk about them or ask them. But there's a chance. So drop them down in the chat wherever you're listening, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, or X. We'll see if we can ask Mr. Pate about that, the future commissioner of college football. Then we'll keep on rolling, get y'all's response to what we talk about right here on this Monday Madness edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started. We got Josh Pate coming up here live in less than 10 minutes.
And no taxes. Again, don't forget to save big this weekend at all three locations of Urban's. Tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. I see we got Shobe on the phone lines. Chase, ask Shobe if he, I mean, if he comes on here, we only have like 3 minutes. So maybe tell him, see if he can call back after we finish with Pate, because I think that would give him, a lot more time. And I want to make sure he has plenty of time. So just check and see, unless he just wanted to say something real quick. But that being said, again, we got Josh Pate coming up here in just a few short minutes. Really looking forward to that. Definitely plan on asking him about Alabama's 2026 season, kind of his thoughts post spring. Again, he was down at a scrimmage. I think scrimmage number two I saw him at. Didn't get to speak to him, but I know he was there. So he's gotten to see this team. He'll give us an outlook on what he thinks about Alabama going into this season. Plus, I want to get his thoughts. I think I'm going to ask him kind of about Alabama's recruiting strategy. Again, I'm kind of over recruiting talk, but I'm curious what he thinks, because again, he covers things from a national perspective. So he gets an inside glimpse and talks to a lot of coaches across the country. I'm curious how he would compare what Alabama's doing in terms of their recruiting strategy and their roster management, and maybe how that looks compared to likes of some of these other programs that I know he also covers. So definitely want to talk about that. All right, well, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take Shobe real quick, because we got like 2 or 3 minutes. So we'll let him jump on here before we get to Pate. And then, I guess we'll go ahead and time out. Then we'll bring Pate back. But 205-342-9904. We'll give Shobe the floor and kind of warm it up for Josh Pate. Shobe, welcome in.
What's up, bro?
What's up, Shobe?
Man, look, man, I was just looking and I watched the fight. It was a good fight. But also, man, he's the main attraction. If he would have pulled out to the injury, they would have been refunded. So many people wouldn't have came to watch that fight. The fight, he was the main attraction. He got $30 million. I don't feel bad for him. I pray for him. But $30 million, hey, I'll get in there and fight and tear my ACL with A'Shaun Jefferson, anybody.
Come on, Shobe. I mean, for the money, I'm sure. I mean, rehab don't sound too bad. But, I mean, listen, Shobe, I don't think he – so you think he was a little hurt before the fight? I don't think he was, though.
Did you
see him warming up? Did you see him warming up backstage? Yeah. He was throwing kicks backstage. He was putting weight on that right knee backstage.
He was, but what I'm saying is, like you said, though, I don't think it was bad, but I think he neaked it and tweaked it. Because I got a rod in my left leg. My right leg afterwards is always weaker. And you always strain that knee and all that because you walk around with that rod and ain't got no give to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what I – no, you're good. I was going to say, I think that's kind of probably what happened, right? I don't think he went into it with a torn ACL or whatever the
diagnosis is. I just think he tweaked it in training and he got over it, but then it gave out.
Fully gave. Well, I don't know why he started. I mean, that kick, I mean, he launched himself. And, I mean, he came down. You know, there's probably a lot of impact landed on that one leg, which – I mean, if you're in the octagon, I'd hope you're able to withstand something like that. But I'm just like, man, I wish he would have been a little bit more patient to just, you know what I mean? That way we could have had a little bit more of a fight. Then if it gave later,
right.
Gave.
But watch this, though, Chris. And you know what I know. Watch it. Go back and replay it. As soon as you tear that thing, a bulge comes out. His knee didn't swell up. So what does that tell me? I watched.
Listen, all I know is the stability was there. The stability was there, and you could see the buckle in his knee where, like, even after he tried to get up, you could just tell the stability was not there. Like, I feel like from a slow-mo, you could kind of see that shift, because that's the test that they do on an ACL, right? They kind of wiggle it around to see that stability. Mm-hmm. It felt like you could just almost see it from the slow-mos.
Slip. He didn't slip. That right leg did give out. That first slip was that left leg. When he slipped the first time, I was watching it. I said, look at this.
I
got to
go back and look. Yeah, I hate it for him, though, but hopefully he makes a comeback.
Yeah, well, he's going to come back because he's the payday. Everybody got paid. But the other fighters, and I don't think no one talks about this, UFC doesn't pay the other fighters right. He got $30 million. The rest of these guys get $20,000.
Depends. Some of the earlier fights, yeah. But, I mean, listen, I agree with you on that. They need to be a lot better with the pay. Dana White needs to do better. He's got all the money in the world, man. He can pay those fighters some more. So we're going to hit this timeout so we can get Mr. Pate on here, man. I'm glad we can catch up, brother.
All right. You have a good one.
Appreciate you. Yes, sir. You too, man. Good deal. All right. We're going to hit this timeout. When we come back, we got Josh Pate coming on here live right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Complete range of duct surfaces, 205-339-6540 or at adamsfcs.com. Adams Services.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless...
Possible. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more, or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And welcome back into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Now we're joined by our guest of the day, Mr. Josh Pate of the Josh Pate College Football Show, ESPN On 3 and others. National college football analyst, you guys know the man. Josh, welcome in, man. It's been a while.
It has been a while. I'm somewhere south of Montgomery, driving back from the beach right now. So I'm charged. Have not talked college football in an entire week. So it's good to end the drought right here.
Well, I feel bad because we're kind of bursting your bubble, man. You were down, if you don't mind me asking, Gulf Shores or Orange Beach area? You said you're driving through Montgomery.
Yeah, we were down near, we were down on 30A, so taking the route up through Alabama that way. Yeah, it was a good time, though. Yeah. It did not pour down rain until literally the day we left, so that's how you draw it up.
Well, that sounds perfect, man. I think you posted, did you go deep sea fishing a little bit, too? Did you hit the water? I think connection might be going in and out. Josh, can you hear us? Chase, is he still on that line?
Let me double check real quick.
He might be going through a tough spot. I think he posted a picture or a video of him deep sea fishing, man. I was going to say, I'm jealous. I hadn't done that in a long time, man. It's been a minute, but Pensacola is where I went when I went down there. And it was great fishing down there. We might have to have Josh call us back. Josh, you there? You can hear us? Maybe we'll see if he can call us back, Chase. Or if you want to, I feel like I hear the phone line still. Is he on there, Chase?
Test one, two.
There it goes. Now we got you. Might have hit a bad spot on those with the back roads that Montgomery route.
You know
this
part of the country very well. So yes, you are very accurate right now.
Yeah, I was about to say I've taken that route a couple times heading that way. Let's jump into some football talk while we got some decent signal right here, man. I want to dive straight into Alabama, Josh, because I know you spent some time down here in Tuscaloosa. I didn't get to catch you on the sideline. I saw you down there on one of the scrimmages. So you got to see this football team during the spring. There's a lot of new faces, a lot of new additions, not only on the roster, but even on this staff. They go hire Adrian Clem, offensive line clearly needed, a little bit of a boost. They try to attack that problem with Clem. Coach Owens, they hire him as the tight ends coach. Just a lot of newness on this Alabama football team. So there's a lot of question marks. Going to be a new starter at quarterback. Tell me, what's your thoughts, you know, ahead of this 2026 season on Alabama after getting to see them this spring?
All right. So my feel on that team is, and I'm going to kind of say something that's true of every team. I think it's just especially true of Alabama this year. It will be very evolutionary. I don't think the team that you're looking at in November is going to resemble much of what you see in September. So when I drill down, specifically what I mean by that is I think this offensive line, at its best, if everyone's healthy and they continue to progress, they've got a chance to be very above average to very good in pass pro. I got a massive question about how good they can run block at their best. That also coincides with maybe wondering about Crowell being a true freshman and his overall health at running back. Like, how good at their best are they at tailback? But you know as well as I do, man, and this is something I think they're very bullish on. If you put Keelon Russell in there, that's who I think will win that job. I know that's not settled, but let's just project for a second. You put him in there and you start watching his game advance and develop. You talk about the RPO elements that you get out of him that maybe you didn't even get out of Ty. That, to me, when you combine all that in a big rubber band ball, that's what opens up that ground game.
And then especially if they're a little underrated at tight end, which I think they are, probably a little more versatile there than they were in totality a year ago. And you get maybe a Noah Rogers back who got hurt in the spring. But if Sed Morgan, if a guy like that starts to advance and you combine that as working downstream of Ryan Williams and Lotsier Brooks doing what they should do, that offense to me, I know people are going to drill down on defensive line, and I'll get to that in a second, but it felt like a group that you looked at it, and at times there's flashes, at times it's discombobulated in the spring, but you know there are good enough players there that if they're mixed in proper proportion and developed, that's the kind of team where you're watching it in like late October, early November, and you're saying, man, you know who looks really good all of a sudden? That Alabama offense. And then on the other side, that secondary, them and Notre Dame, I think, have the best group in the back end of their defense as any team in the country. And I think that size, you cannot speak enough about what adding those guys in the transfer portal and getting that increase in size up front can do. I think, like most everyone else listening, I'm fascinated by what they could be at linebacker, but I think that's a massive question mark to this point. But it's just the kind of team, man, where you've got some intriguing pieces. You've got question marks, but question marks don't always mean weaknesses. That's why it's a question mark. And if those question marks get answered the way you want it to, that has the chance to be a special team on its high end.
Josh, I want to ask you this. We know this is a young team. You just alluded to some of those guys. They have a lot of potential, but definitely a lot of question marks. And I agree. I think they have a ceiling that if they play their best ball and they find ways to mesh and gel and they build that chemistry early on in the year, I think you talked about this, their schedule kind of aligns with that. It gives, there's some winnable games, of course, the first five games before they hit that stretch. And I think there's enough of a challenge also in there for them to really go through some of those growing pains and then they hit their stride a little bit later in the year, kind of like you're describing. But I want to ask you in terms of this roster, the way it's built, a lot of people, including myself, almost think, you know, with the youth that we have, you know, maybe you're looking at 2027 being a little bit more of that prime year for them to make a deep run. Do you believe that's the case that, you know, 2026, you know, is definitely there's potential there, but 2027 is, in fact, kind of the year where they'll strike hot? And I guess the follow up to that would be, what would you define as a successful season for Alabama this upcoming year? Because right now I feel like it's kind of splitting the fan base. I mean, I think the over under is like 8.5. I think people, including myself, we say, you know, 9-3 feels realistic, maybe 10-2 if they play their cards right, that would earn them a playoff berth, maybe a similar type season like last year. How do you see that playing out for them? And really, what would you define as successful in 2026?
Alabama needs to make the playoff for it to be a successful season. I don't really care what anyone outside of Tuscaloosa says about that. Frankly, I don't care what anyone says about it because I think I got a pretty good read on that program. That's the standard that should always exist there, no matter if it's Nick Saban, if it's Kalen DeBoer, if it's me or if it's you, because that's Alabama football. So I would look at it, especially in an expanded era, making the playoffs every year is the standard there. Now, what closely follows behind that is, all right, let's say you go 9-3, you don't make the playoffs. Well, what did that look like? You know, did you have some critical injuries before a couple of big games and you lost really, really hard-fought battles with, I don't know, like LSU and Georgia? Or is it a hollow 9-3 where you won some games against lesser opponents, but you could not match up physically against the big boys? And so those three losses were three pretty profound losses. I think, you know, devil's in the details there. But I do agree with you. So to answer the first part of your question, yes, I do look at them as a team that probably projects to be better in 27 than I would think they'd be in 26. I feel the same way about Tennessee. But here's the thing. This is Alabama. So you don't wait for 2027. This is not like at Iowa State where Matt Campbell did that. Like Matt Campbell would know, all right, we got to build 2 or 3 years and hope it all comes together in that year down the road. This is Alabama. So it's every year you got a shot at it. Now, it is true that some years maybe you're a rung or two on the ladder above where you'd normally be, so you don't have to reach as far to grab the belt, which also gives you a bigger, you know, margin for error. Or maybe you got a team, Christian, where you're so multifaceted, there are several ways you can win, as opposed to the other kinds of years where you can still win, but there's a really specific way you're going to have to do it. Well, this Alabama team can win. All right, this Alabama team can compete for a championship. It may be that the road's a little narrower, maybe the path's a little finer theoretically than it would be next year. But there's never a reason at Alabama to be saying, oh, well, we'll just get through this year. Next year will be the year, though. I could never think that way around there.
Yeah, no, I mean, realistically, that is definitely the case. But it's hard not to look ahead sometimes when you look at the young talent that they have, the core players that they have, and anticipating that they're able to retain those players, given that seems to be the strategy here. Next year, man, you definitely feel like they're in a better spot. But you're right, though. In Alabama, I don't know if you can afford to have those kind of take a year off. And I think that's probably why you see a little bit of the frustration when it comes to recruiting, at least for this cycle, given that Alabama, I think, currently is like 35th. I'll ask you about that here in a second. But first, I want to ask you, Josh, as somebody who covers, you know, everybody, right? You're in the national media. What is maybe one misconception or one thing that people in the national media have wrong about this Alabama football team?
So I think if you ask a random person in Denver or like Boston, who's a big college football fan, hey, what's your impression of Alabama right now? I think they'd mostly have it nailed. I think that they were bad running the ball last year. They finished roughly in some big games. And that's not inaccurate. But now, the difference is maybe if you're trying to diagnose why, I think with people in that building, they'd be able to give a lot more nuanced answer as to why. Also be able to pick the scenarios of how they plan on fixing that. Yeah, they have that edge over the public. But Alabama's one of those teams where I don't feel like people have the wrong impression of them a whole lot right now. I think maybe the difference is if you were to ask Alabama can't do this or Alabama won't be able to do that. And, you know, that's fortune telling. That's like rubbing the magic eight ball. And that may be where there's a differentiation from what's being predicted versus what's actually going to happen this year. But I feel like folks got a pretty good read on him. I feel like if Kalen DeBoer, I mean, you've had him, you've talked to him here. I don't think he shies away from what their areas of weakness were last year. You know, they're working every day to fix it. But there are some teams out there where there really is that misconception. I don't think Bama's one of them right now.
Well, that's definitely interesting to hear because I think the way we look at it is, you know, when you hear about the recruiting right now, Josh, there's kind of like a split in the fan base. And maybe it's a little bit more internally with Alabama fans. But let's take recruiting, for example. And I want to get your thoughts on this. By the way, folks, we're joined by Josh Pate of Josh Pate's College Football Show. Make sure you guys check them out on all platforms. Of course, the future commissioner of college football. But Josh, right now with Alabama being like 35th, in the national recruiting rankings, there's a split in the fan base, it feels like. It feels a lot like politics. There's like two extremes, right? Nobody can just be level-headed and understand things just from a very, just I guess, reasonable perspective. But it's like, hey, some people are, the sky's falling. Alabama fell off. They can't recruit because of how poor they played against Indiana last season. Then the other end is almost just like, hey, I mean, Alabama can't do any wrong. And, you know, everything is going totally according to plan 100%. But realistically, it probably falls in the middle, right? Just realistically speaking, what did you make of Alabama's recruiting strategy and roster management strategy, given that I think this is probably, you're just predicting here, that Alabama is going to finish like outside what, the top five, top 10 for the first time in almost two decades. What do you make of kind of the strategy that it seems that they're going with, given that you talk to coaches all over the country and see how other programs are doing it? What do you think of Alabama's strategy there?
I think that it's not surprising to me only because it's exactly how they laid it out. Going back to last year, even just loosely thinking about the future, going to take a big class last cycle, going to take a smaller class probably this cycle. And look, here's the thing. Some people don't know that, and they're just looking at recruiting rankings and they're taking shots, and that's okay. The worst kind of person is the kind of person who really knows the details, but they also know the general public doesn't know the details, so they can conveniently take a shot at Alabama because they know people don't know better to push back on it. That I've heard a lot of. And so that to me is like, you define your strategy and you stick with it, okay? And if you could just go out and spend everybody at every turn, well, then you get to have no problems, or at the worst, first world problems. But that's not the real world. And you got to be a lot more strategic And you got to stick to that strategy instead of waking up every morning and starting from scratch every morning and deciding, all right, today we're going to go about it this way. Tomorrow, maybe we'll go about it a different way. So it's just strategy. And it's what I think they have to do for this class.
We had a question from one of our listeners here. He asked, maybe even off the record, but with you talking to all these coaches, kind of what have you gotten in terms of their, I guess, methods when it comes to putting these classes and these rosters together? Would they rather invest in like high school quarterbacks, given that you can get in on them early and start developing them versus the portal? Kind of what's your read been, you know, talking to various coaches, kind of their, I guess, decisions to build their teams and how they do it?
Yeah, there's different methodology, but I'll tell you one of the big overlaps for at least the top 20 schools, and Alabama's one of them, is define the premium positions, so your quarterback, your wide receiver, your edge rusher, those kind of positions, and go get future first-round draft picks out of high school. Do not count on being able to get those guys out of the portal. And if you're going to spend on high school players, those are the ones you spend on. Because if you're projecting a kid to be a future first-rounder, that's 3 years from now. That's probably not 4 years from now. And that's also a guy who's probably going to play for you as a true freshman. So it's not dead money the first year they're on campus. That's the first thing, and pretty much all of them agree on that. And that does not have to be a top-10 player, a five-star player. Forget about the star ratings. If your eval says that we project this kid to be a surefire first rounder, which most of the time means he's five stars, but not all the time, those are the ones you invest heavily in. And that everybody shares. Then you start deviating a little bit about philosophy and approach, and also obviously your ability financially is going to define a lot of that. But I also think it's really interesting to watch the way that these recruiting staffs handle recruitments specifically on kids that you'd finish second, third, or fourth for, because it used to just be that was it. And these days, it's, we got a decent shot that we're going to have a second chance at this kid 2 years from now. And it's just so funny how you used to hang up the phone after the kid called you and said, I'm committing elsewhere. And that was pretty much it. And next time I see him, they'll be across the field. We'll be playing against him. Nowadays, that communication really does not end.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's a fair point, and it makes total sense given how things are going. Granted, you're going to be the future commissioner, so maybe you'll be able to clean some of that up if Congress can't figure it out with all that stuff they got going right now, which a lot of people, I guess, are still opposing as they hope certain little details are ironed out. We're joined by Josh Pate of Josh Pate's College Football Show, ESPN. Make sure you guys check him out on all platforms. Josh, I got a couple more questions real quick. I appreciate you joining us on your way back, I guess, to reality now that football season's about to kick back on and you got SEC Media Days coming up. But I want to ask you about the rest of the SEC, just kind of your outlook on the conference ahead of the 2026 season. Any contenders, pretenders from your view? Kind of who do you – you don't have to drop your prediction. I know that's a big thing at SEC Media Days, unless you want to. But in terms of your favorites to maybe be in that SEC championship game?
Yeah, I don't have – I'm not withholding it because I'm just withholding it. I can promise you that. I don't know who I'm putting there yet. I will say, like I said with Tennessee, I would be surprised if they were to pop a big year this year. I would expect that more next year. LSU is interesting because I think they believe they've got all the ingredients they need. It's just how do they mix properly? Because unlike Alabama, I mean, LSU plays three very losable games in their first four games. They've got to be quicker. Arkansas, no. Auburn and Florida are both really interesting to me, especially Florida. Because Florida is a team that really could just shock everybody outside of the South. There are a lot of people down here who have known how good that roster is for two or three years now. It was held back for reasons that were addressed by the coaching change. But that roster is really good. You go down there. I went down there watching them practice in spring. Man, that is a very good, very deep football team. And the skill positions are good there. They did the thing a couple of other programs have done successfully in recent history, which is you import the quarterback and his offensive coordinator. Pavia did the same thing coming to Vanderbilt. And so, like, Florida is the kind of team, no one will predict them to go to Atlanta. But that's one that if they were in Atlanta, if you just showed me the future, I wouldn't be shocked by that. Texas and Georgia, unless someone talks me off of them, would be maybe just my default picks to go there. But like Alabama's in that group where, like we talked about 10 minutes ago, if you have things break their way the second half of the year, that is the kind of team that not only could be there, like that's a championship contending team. It's just that they've got a few more question marks that have to turn into green check marks, as opposed to maybe a Texas, where I think Texas is as high on the ladder this year. Oregon, I think the same thing about outside the SEC, as they've been at any point under Sark or Dan Lanning being there.
Yeah, it's hard not to see a Texas team that's built the way they are with the talent that they have, not being a contender this upcoming season. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. I know they've had some talent to work with in the past, but this year, man, I don't know. They've got some dudes, man, and I think they're in a good spot to maybe put it together. We'll have to see. But I think a lot of people will probably have Texas on their card to be in one of those top teams in the country. Last but not least, Josh, I just want to ask you from a national perspective. You just mentioned Oregon. Any outlook there in terms of contenders, pretenders on the national side of things that you think people should keep an eye out for?
Yeah, so the best way I describe this, because the best way to describe how I look at teams is when we go storm chasing, a lot of times you're looking at different parameters that it takes to be conducive to tornado potential in a given day. And oftentimes when you're looking at a forecast, you'll have, let's just say there are five big parameters you're looking for and you need to go five for five. So many days it's a 3 out of 5. Or it's a 4 out of 5. And you sit there and you're telling yourself, boy, if we had that fourth or fifth parameter, this would be a massive day. But we don't. So they're clear skies. Football teams are kind of the same way. And I'm talking specifically about Oregon. So Oregon has so many of the parameters. Offensive line is a huge question mark for them. Now, they won't be terrible, but they got to be better than average on offensive line, or else all it's going to be is another year where they win double-digit games during the regular season and then someone wrecks them in the playoffs because they can't stand up against a premier pass rush. They can't move the ball on the interior. That's the kind of question I have for Oregon. I got the same kind of question about Texas, same position, by the way, probably even a little more confident in Texas's ability there than Oregon. Notre Dame feels like they've got everything you need. But I'll tell you one I went and watched in the spring, and that's Miami. Miami, I expect to be a better team this year than they were last year. And they played for a national title last year. But that is a team that's going to be very hard to deal with. Now, they lose Bain and Mesidor, and they imported Damon Williams, so that's Wilson. So that's a good pass rusher. But I think in the aggregate, what they're going to have on the second, third level of that defense, they're even than what they had last year. And offensively, there won't be much better this year, and you'll see it early on than they were last year. So if you're Alabama, if you're Georgia, if you're LSU, if you're going to win a national title, there are several big-time premier teams out there you're going to have to overcome, which is fun for me because I just get to watch it for a living.
And you do a great job watching and breaking them down. I know all of our listeners love you and always get excited when you come and join us. So thank you so much for taking some time to do that. Have some, safe travels on those roads through Montgomery. And we'll definitely be keeping up with all the great work that you're putting out. And of course, you can remind everybody, they all know you, but before you get out of here, Josh, how they can keep up with the latest on Josh Pate's College Football Show and everything else that you got going on this football season.
Yeah, man, it's about to crank back up. It's just Josh Pate's College Football Show. You just search it, you'll find it. And if you don't, just text Christian. He'll tell you where to go. That's the easiest route, probably.
Yeah, they can always do that. Come holler at me. I'll point them in the right direction. Josh, I appreciate it, man. Hopefully we'll be able to do this soon and catch back up during the season for sure. That way we can discuss kind of how this thing plays out. I know we don't have an idea, but it'll be nice to see it. I'm sure you'll probably be here for will you be around this fall during fall camp, anything like that?
Yeah, I always pop down there at least once. I'll let you know beforehand. We'll get together.
Yeah, sounds good, brother. Be safe on that road, and I appreciate you so much for joining us, man.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, brother. Josh Pate, ladies and gentlemen, of Josh Pate's College Football Show. Like he said, you can catch him on any platform, of course, on their YouTube channel. Go check him out, man. They do a great job. Very entertaining stuff. And Josh has been killing it, man. He's been doing a great job. Even calling some games he did last season on, like, the sidecast, which was cool getting to hear him. I listened to him do that. I think it was maybe Georgia game, something like that. That said, we got to hit a timeout. We come back, we keep rolling. I would love to get y'all's response to everything we just discussed with Mr. Pate himself. Right here on the Miller's Edge, you can catch us on our streams. Come drop a comment there in either of the chats, wherever you end up watching it, or, of course, in the Tide 100.9 app, or call us, 205-342-9904. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 W.
9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays, single, family, and corporate memberships available. Located at 14931 Seed Town Road in Foster's, Alabama.
Hey, this is Wyatt Fulton from Tide 100.9. Join us starting on July the 20th for SEC Media Days live from Tampa, Florida, presented to you by Pearl River Resort and the Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino. We'll bring you live updates, press conferences, and interviews from all 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference at SEC Media Days 2026 from Tampa, Florida, presented by Pearl River Resort. Join us starting July the 20th for a week of content from Tampa, Florida, live at SEC Media Days 2026, presented to you by Pearl River Resort and the Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino in Choctaw, Mississippi.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9600. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
Major League Baseball is now on All-Star break. The Yankees won their fourth straight game, 5-3 at Washington. Boston won its ninth in a row, a 10-inning win at the Mets, 3-2. By the way, the MLB schedule resumes Thursday with a Mets game at Philadelphia. Philly will be hosting the All-Star contest on Fox TV Tuesday night, and the Phillies' own Christopher Sanchez will start the All-Star game for the NL. The AL starting pitcher will be Toronto's Dylan Cease. San Diego edged Toronto 5-4. Arizona beat the Dodgers in LA again 5-3. Philadelphia shut out Detroit 5-0. The White Sox sent the A's to a ninth straight loss 9-1. Number one Yannick Sinner won the Wimbledon title in four sets, beating number two Alexander Zverev. He's now beaten Zverev 10 straight times over the last 2 years. In the NBA, Frank Vogel will be an assistant at Golden State. WNBA Indiana, Rip Vegas.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud what does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of the game, we're going to have a chance to catch up with Alabama legendary defensive lineman Marcell Darius, who's going to be a part of the show. We'll talk about some of those great memories around Alabama Crimson Tide football with him. Certainly, we'll talk about the trenches. We'll visit with Mark Houston, 1992 national champion winning fullback. We'll talk to Grady Armand as we recap another weekend and 1 week closer to SEC Media Day, starting on the Monday edition of the game at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230. WPBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide.
The longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast this afternoon. Keep the umbrella handy as we'll continue to dodge the raindrops. Clouds, showers, and thunderstorms are likely. Light westerly breeze at 87. Storms remain likely this evening before cooling to a muggy 71 tonight. Tomorrow, unsettled pattern persist as we'll keep showers and storms in the forecast, 85. Rain chances continue Wednesday, 88. Richard DeWedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this Monday Madness edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Great conversation with our buddy, Mr. Josh Pate, the future commissioner of college football and, of course, host of Josh Pate's College Football Show on YouTube. Make sure you guys check them out, man. It's going to be heating up. You heard Josh had a little bit of a break. It sounded like he went down to the beach, had himself a good time, and now he's back in football mode. So I know he's going to have a lot of good content for you guys available, for all of us, right? I like to watch Josh's stuff, too, for all of us. You got a lot of good content coming, so make sure you guys check them out. Now, let's respond a little bit to what Josh had to say. Chase, I'm going to work backwards here. We asked him about other teams. I kind of want to start there because that was some of the last stuff we talked about. Similar to a lot of people, he definitely was leaning, Georgia, Texas for sure is teams that you kind of feel a little bit stronger about in this conference. Hey, great comparison for him, by the way. I know he's a storm chaser. That was cool, man. I don't know how he does that. That's not my cup of tea. You won't see me chase any storms, but I understood the comparison. It definitely made a lot of sense. That said, Chase, any surprises there? He mentioned Florida as being one of those teams that he said he saw in person in spring, and they look good from a personnel standpoint. And they got a coach, man, who brings some juice, brings some energy. I feel like he's kind of, breathe a little bit of life in that program, a program that, no offense to my guy Billy Napier. He was here when I was here at Alabama. Great guy, man, great coach. But they just couldn't get that ball rolling down in Gainesville. Sounds like there's a lot of optimism for a team like Florida. But he still had, Alabama, maybe like Texas A&M, kind of Ole Miss, like those schools right in that realm that could be in that, SEC title picture at some point. Chase, any thoughts on his outlook on the SEC? Any comments there? I just wanted to start there real quick. Or Norris, any of you guys? Chat as well?
Yeah, I think with Florida for sure. I was a little surprised to hear his positive outlook on it, especially with the two coaches, with Coach Summerall taking over. And, it takes a while for a program to get back on its feet. There's so many changes within the system, within the program. I know they have a lot of transfers coming in as well. A lot of people left because of the firing of the previous coach. But, Josh Pate has a good eye for talent, and he understands the SEC very well. So I think that's a team I'll definitely be watching for sure. I think another team for sure, Ole Miss. I think with Coach Golding and Ole Miss will be interesting. LSU. I think it's interesting with Lane being there. I think it's, I'm not going to say I believe the hype, because they've had coaches like Les Miles, you know, Brian Kelly, he was there. That there was so much hype behind it, and it took a while for them to find their footing, for them to kind of be the blue bloods of the SEC. But, yeah, I'd have to say the one that shocked me the most was his belief in the Gators down in Gainesville, Florida. Norris, was there any team for you?
The ones you really named, them the ones I'm looking forward to watching too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Miami.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Miami. Yeah. So from a national perspective, he did mention Miami. You're right. He said Miami looks like they could be better than they were a season ago, which that definitely was that was interesting to hear that as well, right? Because I mean, Miami last year, they were a good football team. Clearly, they made it to the national championship game. They had some moments right during the regular season. There's a reason they were a little bit of a bubble team, kind of barely sneaking in the college football playoffs. They clearly showed they deserved to be there by the run that they had once getting in there, going on the road, beating Texas A&M in that stadium, Kyle Field, or what is that, whatever it's called, Kyle Field Stadium, whatever the name of it is. Very loud, I can tell you that much. But I was surprised to hear that though. He said they could potentially be even better, right? Because they did lose a handful of players, some good players. They lost their starting quarterback. Now, the guy they replaced him with, Mensah, I think a lot of people are really eager to see him down in the Miami uniform. Some people think he's probably one of the top quarterbacks in college football going into the season. But I was thinking from an edge perspective, you lose guys like Bain, right? The other guy, drawing a blank on his name right now, older guy. Anyway, the two edge players they just lost. But they did go and get the dude from Missouri. Right. So, I mean, they did reload. They got some good talent. I mean, it doesn't necessarily shock me that they're going to be good, but for him to say he thinks they could be even better than they were a season ago, man, that definitely has my sights set on Miami. He mentioned Oregon kind of in that similar breath as Texas being a team that he feels like is really loaded other than the question marks on the offensive line. So there's a lot to really look into for this upcoming season. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm excited. I feel like right now, kind of like he was describing the SEC, I feel like it's almost like an open race. There's a lot of balanced teams, a lot of teams that, like he said, have those a couple parameters that they might be lacking a little bit. But overall, man, I think it's going to be a very entertaining college football season without a doubt. I mean, I feel like it's kind of shaping up to be that way. And we're really close. I mean, we're a week from SEC Media Days. You got training camp a little over 2 weeks away, so I'm fired up. We'll definitely keep talking about it. We asked him, of course, about Alabama, and he gave us his thoughts there. It sounded like he's pretty optimistic that this team can definitely end up being a team. And, you know, a lot of people, including myself, believe, like, this year, man, I mean, I think it definitely can be a similar year to maybe last season in terms of making it to the playoffs, right? I mean, I think if they play their cards right, I think they can definitely do that. I still think 9-3, 10-2, is fair. I don't think we've seen a 9-3 team make the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, just yet. But I don't know. I think it really all depends on how everything falls into place. And like he said, I mean, it's the running game that he really wants to see. And we did that breakdown on. And I talked a little bit about, I think, if you know, moving certain guys, certain places, and getting some of these younger players in here that might be able to fit what you want to do a little bit better. Again, I don't think it's going to be a drastic change. I don't think it necessarily has to be a drastic change. I just think it has to be significant enough to be effective. And it sounds like, you know, he's not entirely sure if that plays out. Hell, I'm not even. I know I made the video. I mean, those are the optimistic outcomes that I was describing, right? If those things change, but no one really knows. But I think if they can find a way to be effective on the ground, like he said, man, I mean, you think about what this team can be later on down the year. And typically, man, you know, those October months, November, right, when you really get in the thick of things, the teams that really start doing this, I feel like have the best chances, right, to get hot at the right time. And I feel like that's kind of what he was describing with Alabama when you think about it, which that's kind of, I guess, I don't know. I mean, the vibe that they're giving, right? Growing pains early on, but man, if it's Keelan Russell and, you know, he's gaining experience week by week, that offensive line has time to gel and mesh and get to a point where they can end up being a lot better than, you know, a lot of people anticipate them being. Defense continues to build off what they've done the last couple of years, really mostly the front seven, right? You'll see my breakdown on the secondary coming up. Secondary-wise, I mean, I don't think anybody's batting an eye. The thing is more so on this front seven. Can they get after the quarterback? Can they consistently stop the run? A lot of new faces on that front seven, but definitely a lot of eyes and ears on that group. Want to get y'all's thoughts on everything we heard from Josh Pate. 205-342-9904. Love to get y'all's thoughts. Of course, you can always drop it here in the chat on YouTube, on Facebook, on X, wherever you guys like to tune in from. And don't forget about that Tide 100.9 app. It is completely free. You can download it on your Google Play, Apple App Store, all that good stuff. Drop your app messages there. You can also call in directly from there. Then you just hit a button. Plus, you can leave voice messages. I don't know if many people know you can do that. But if you don't want to sit on the phone lines, you can literally record yourself on a voice message, send it in, and we can play it live on the show, and we'll respond to it that way. So take that into consideration. And I don't know if we have a bunch of people that do that, but it's definitely an option. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll keep on rolling. I want to get y'all's thoughts on everything we talked about that right here on the Miller's Edge. We'll respond to it and keep on pushing on this Monday Madness edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Don't go anywhere. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Wyatt Fulton from Tide 100.9. Join us starting on July the 20th live from Tampa, Florida for SEC Media Days 2026, brought to you by Taco Casa. We'll bring you press conferences, live interviews, and updates from all 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference.
Great atmosphere, outstanding customer service. Where they do that at? Bama Entertainment, where the odds are always in your favor. Take exit 45 off 2059, sponsored by Red.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, this is Wyatt Fulton from Tide 100.9. Join us starting on July the 20th for SEC Media Days live from Tampa, Florida, presented to you by Pearl River Resort and the Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino. We'll bring you live updates, press conferences, and interviews from all 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference at SEC Media Days 2026 from Tampa, Florida, presented by Pearl River Resort. Join us starting July the 20th for a week of content from Tampa, Florida, live at SEC Media Days 2026, presented to you by Pearl River Resort and the Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino in Choctaw, Mississippi.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that. Whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio, you are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast this afternoon. Keep the umbrella handy as we'll continue to dodge the raindrops. Clouds, showers, and thunderstorms are likely. Light westerly breeze at 87. Storms remain likely this evening before cooling to a muggy 71 tonight. Tomorrow, unsettled pattern persists as we'll keep showers and storms in the forecast, 85. Rain chances continue Wednesday, 88. Richard Wedding of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 86 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Let's talk some madness now, Chase. Norris, let's do this, man. We got Bama Hater in the chat. It looks like, and we got some other questions. I appreciate you guys. Drop some questions, guys, if you have anything you want to discuss, because we got Bama Hater here in the chat. And I want to address a couple of his questions. He says, now I'm seeing even more questions, but I wanted to, let's start here. The first one he mentioned was, if the SEC, by the way, I think he admitted that I think he claimed he's a Miami fan when he called us. He said, if the SEC doesn't win the Natty in January and Bama misses the playoffs, can we agree to stop the SEC talk about the SEC being the best conference or the most relevant? So we'll start there with that first, question from Bama Hater. We mentioned he's a Miami fan, great football team. Right. I like Mario Cristobal. Right. They've had some, you know, inconsistencies along the way. But nonetheless, man, I love the way they build their teams. Right. Inside out with the trench play. They got some dudes as well that they go and get out of the portal. Of course, they got some money to work with. But I got a lot of respect for Miami, which is his team. So I want to preface by saying that. But to his question. Here's the deal, man. I've been vocal that I truly believe the SEC and the Big Ten, we've had this conversation on this show. I feel like they're closer than they've ever been. I give a lot of credit to the Big Ten, right? I mean, as they currently stand, they've gone and added more teams, right? I mean, they've got Southern Cal. They've got Oregon. They've got teams that, you know, they've added to the conference that strengthen it, like those two. Oregon probably being, you know, of course, the most impressive one there. But still, Southern Cal, respectable program. Of course, they got a lot of history, but they got good teams. They recruit really well. So they've added to their depth, no doubt about that. We've talked about it. They've won the last three national championships, three years in a row straight now. They've been responsible for producing the national champions, right? Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana. So you got to give credit where credit is due on that. I still would probably give an edge to Alabama. Excuse me, not Alabama. A slight edge to the SEC in terms of the depth. Personally, I just feel like the depth is still maybe a slight edge to the SEC. But there's no, I mean, you can't deny it. They've produced the last three national champions. It's beyond a respectable conference. I mean, I think they're pretty much, I think Big Ten and SEC are pretty much neck and neck at this point, damn near. But you're saying if the SEC doesn't produce a national champion this year and Bama doesn't make the SEC, I don't know. I don't really know how that second part really, I guess, plays a factor right there. But I don't know. I have no problem just admitting that. The Big Ten is definitely gained ground. And I'm not ready to put them over the SEC just yet, just because of the depth of the SEC. But without a doubt, I mean, you got to respect Ohio State, Oregon. I mean, every single year, those are going to be top five, top 10 contenders. I mean, now you throw Indiana kind of in that conversation. Feels a little premature. I know they dominated things last year. Year before, they had a good season as well. They made the playoffs in Cignetti's first year. Michigan, I feel like Michigan's probably comparable to what you've seen out of what, like LSU? Other than, yeah, I mean, LSU won in 2019. Other than that, more of a consistent, like, 9-win type of team. They've got the potential there. I mean, so it's close, but I would give the nod on the depth side to the SEC still by a slight margin. But, of course, we got to see how this season plays out. Chase, any thoughts on that? I think a lot of SEC fans are comfortable saying the Big Ten is a lot more respectable nowadays. I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, don't you think we already kind of put respect on the Big Ten? Would you still say the SEC is the most relevant? I think that was his question, or the most, I guess, or the best conference. I think right now I would put them at like a split. I would say the SEC and the Big Ten are kind of eye to eye right now for the best conferences. I don't know if I can say one is really better than the other. I would put them at like neck and neck. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'd go with neck and neck. Honestly, I think with what the Big Ten has done in the past,
they got more respect for sure.
Yeah,
they definitely got more respect.
Three to 4 years, I would say the Big Ten has had the SEC's number. And you have to respect that. I think that's why there's so much pressure from these 80s, the SEC 80s, trying to get their programs back on top, because the Big Ten, you know, they're coming. You know, they're coming with money. They're coming with lucrative. They're coming with resources. And they're not shying away like they've done in past years. So you have to respect the competition. Christian, I guess to ask you, how would you assess the Big Ten being that step over the SEC of being the number one conference in NCAA? Or do you feel like because the SEC has been so dominant for so long, even before you played, it's just like they have to do so much more to be in that conversation?
Well, I was going to bring this up, Chase. I personally feel like it's similar. The SEC is almost a victim of their own success, similar to how Alabama is almost a victim to their own success. And that's not for any pity party. I'm just being honest here, right? Like Alabama, you know, had such a historic run that everything is going to be compared to that. And even, you know, like Pate said, you know, the goal should be pretty much make it to the college football playoffs, try to make a run each and every year, be in that conference picture. Like to me, I personally think like those are fair expectations. I said that when we first hired DeBoer. That's why I made the comparison to Ryan Day at Ohio State. As long as you maintain relevancy at the top in your conference, which is not easy, by the way, given the depth of the SEC, which we're talking about, and you're consistently in that playoff picture, I never expected Coach DeBoer to come here and win 2, 3, 4, 5 national championships. In fact, I think if he wins 1 in 5 years, that is excellent. Like, I think that would be very high up given the landscape now. If he doesn't win 1 in 5 years, but he's still very close, I still think that's a very solid job, right? Like, I have very realistic expectations. That's why I said, like what I see out of like our fan base, really college football in general, but like these extremes where it feels so similar to politics, where you got lunatics on both sides, and it seems like there's not just reasonable people that can just say, hey, we're not going to overly sunshine pump and just act as if like Alabama can do no wrong or can't mess up or can't miss out, because that's not true and that doesn't help. But it also doesn't help being overly negative and completely ignoring the positive too. Just be reasonable, be objective, and just cheer for your I wish a lot more people could be like that. Anyway, that said, when it comes to the SEC, I mean, going back to 2006, right, the last two decades, this is what I mean about them being a victim of their own dominance, right? The SEC won, Florida won in 2006, LSU 2007, Florida 2008, Alabama 2009, Auburn 2010, Alabama 11, Alabama 12, Florida State. There's one ACC, which he's an ACC fan, by the way. one in 2013. Then it went Ohio State 2014. That was the first one for the Big Ten. Then you had Alabama 2015, Clemson 2016, Alabama 17, Clemson 18. And then it went LSU, Alabama, Georgia, Georgia. So hence, really, until you had from 2006 to 2022, you had one Big Ten football team win a national championship. Just one. And then you started seeing over the last, you know, 23, 24, 25, it went Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana. So my point is that personally, I think it's a little premature to just immediately say, like, the Big Ten, they won the last three national championships. That's a big deal, and they give them credit. But I think it's a little premature to say they automatically hurdle the SEC. I would just say not so fast, because although Alabama or Georgia or Texas, LSU, any of these top teams, they haven't necessarily won it. If you just look at top to bottom, I mean, these are still very competitive football teams. Now, we did also talk about it. It's interesting, though. I mean, in 25, you had Indiana versus an ACC team. You had Ohio State versus, what, Notre Dame, independent. And then in 23, you had Michigan versus a Pac-12 team. So there hasn't been an SEC team, not just to not win one, but also not even play in a national title game in the last several years. But I'll be honest with you, even if – I would say if a Big Ten team wins it again this season – I mean, if someone wants to make that argument 4 years in a row, I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, that is starting to kind of tilt in their favor. And then you add the fact they've added some decent teams. But I don't know. I think they have some catching up to do. I mean, if you go over the last two decades, I mean, the SEC was on a dominant run in terms of national championships. But I think the criteria should, you know, be balanced when it comes to the depth of the conference, you know, the number of champions that you're producing, all that good stuff. And then even other stuff I think counts. Somebody in the chat mentioned, you know, draft picks, you know, talent that's being produced. Like, I feel like that's a little something to kind of throw in there too. I mean, because just look at the dominance that you've seen in terms of NFL draft picks. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the SEC dominates that. But I have to look it up because the numbers might be shifting on that a little bit. But the good news is we got to hit a timeout. We come back. Well, I think we got Ellis on the phone lines. Plus, I'll give you some time to look up some more numbers. I'm going to look this up. I'm curious. And we'll keep on rolling on this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. If you guys are just tuning in and you missed that Josh Pate interview, don't worry. Good news about streaming is you guys can rewind about maybe about an hour back. Rewind about an hour back in the stream and you can catch that interview. Plus, we'll be posting it separately on our YouTube channel. That way you can just listen to it directly right there on our channel at the Miller's Edge. Make sure you guys check that out. Subscribe because we got a new breakdown video coming this week. We're going to be talking about Alabama secondary, one of the best in the country. Got a really fun breakdown coming your way right there on the YouTube channel as well. Quick timeout. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Hey, this is Wyatt Fulton from Tide 100.9. Join us starting on July the 20th, live from Tampa, Florida, for SEC Media Days 2026, brought to you by Taco Casa. We'll bring you press conferences, live interviews, and updates from all 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference at SEC Media Days 2026, presented to you by Taco Casa. Starting July the 20th, join us in Tampa, Florida, for SEC Media Days 2026, brought to you by Taco Casa.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
And when you call, you'll actually talk to me. 205-800-8000. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Hey, this is Wyatt Fulton from Tide 100.9. Join us starting on July the 20th for SEC Media Days live from Tampa, Florida, presented to you by Pearl River Resort and the Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino. We'll bring you live updates, press conferences, and interviews from all 16 teams in the Southeastern Conference at SEC Media Days 2026 from Tampa, Florida, presented by Pearl River Resort. Join us starting July the 20th for a week of content from Tampa, Florida, live at SEC Media Days 2026, presented to you by Pearl River Resort and the Sportsbook at Golden Moon Casino in Choctaw, Mississippi.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rentals. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Hardy Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide!
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. All right. Before we hit this phone call, I think there's a couple more questions in the chat. I just want to hit real quick. QD had a good one. It's a good football question, man. I always love getting those. He said, How similar is the Husky position to Saban's star position? Pretty much the same thing, right? Star, Husky. I think South Carolina used to use the term, what do they call it, man? Spur, right? I'm sure that probably had a, you know, it's the, you know, spur, right? It's a big thing with Gamecocks and all that stuff. So, I mean, basically it's just nickel corner. That's what that means. Now, in terms of their usage, some people are going to use their guys a little bit differently. I mean, like our star just, you know, he was like Minka played some star at some point. It just depends on guys can, and some guys have that versatility where, you know, you could have outside corners that could, you know, move in and play star or move in and play these slot corners. Biggest thing is as a slot corner, I mean, the response number one, when you're outside corner, I mean, that's your traditional cornerback. Slot corners, you know, you're going to be lined up in the slot, meaning think about the personnel you see, you know, a lot of the time in the slot. So, I mean, you got to be very versatile. You got to have some physicality to you because there's a lot of times that you're going to be sent on a lot of these blitzes and pressures. So you got to be able to have that factor or that, you know, a component to your game, be able to play in the box a little bit some, right? Like you guys saw Malachi Moore, he was playing that star spot and you saw him. Like there's a lot of times it's basically interchanging the Sam linebacker for that extra cornerback. So, you know, it's a very important position because, you know, you got to have a skill set that does a lot of different stuff. But it's like you don't want a star or a nickel that's quote unquote like too big sometimes unless you have like different personnel packages because, you know, there's a little bit of a mismatch when you're going against the true slot guys, right? That you're small, quick, very quick twitch. I mean, that's not ideal. But you also don't want somebody too small because the physicality piece that we just talked about. So in terms of our star in the Husky, in terms of their position, like how they fit in the defense, it's basically interchangeable. There are probably some small, you know, differences in terms of kind of how those, you know, how their roles are played, just given that the defense is different, right? Coach Saban's defense is a good bit different than Coach Wommack's defense. I mean, there's some similarities because, you know, at the end of the day, football is football, defense is defense. But in terms of their philosophies, there is a lot of, you know, variation there. But you'll see on the breakdown, man. I mean, Red Morgan, who plays our Husky position, man, he's great because, you know, he's a smaller guy. He's not very big, but he's tough. He's scrappy and he's physical. So it allows him to overcome some of the disadvantages he has with his size, right? And I love the way that dude plays, man. I love the way that dude plays. I mean, you can always count on him to set the tone. And, I mean, he can cover too. I mean, I got some clips you'll see that he's lined up in that slot. He does a nice job. But what I really love about the way he plays, like you said, I mean, as a slot corner, I mean, what you have to do in terms of the versatility, man, he can kind of do everything, even though he's a little bit on the smaller side. So I think he's a big piece to that defense. Very, very important to have a player like that. 205-342-9904. We got Ellis up next. Ellis, welcome in.
What up, Christian?
What's up, Ellis? What's up? It's been a minute, man. Ellis, how's everything?
I've been busy. But I've got a brother that's not doing too well. He's got Parkinson's. And it's got to where it's messed with his brain and all, you know. So he's not my brother. He's my brother, but you know what I mean. You know, he's not the one I used to know. It's just awful.
Wow, man. Yep. I'm so sorry to hear that, man. We'll definitely be praying for him, man.
Thank you. I do want to talk about one thing first before football is Fallon and Summer League basketball. Is he showing out or what?
Oh, man, I think he's showing everybody why he should have been drafted a little bit earlier, man. He's been doing his thing, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
he dropped 24, 6 assists, 3 rebounds in 34 minutes the other day in the Summer League game against the Pacers.
And he's got some moves, too. I mean, you sit there and watch him, you know, it's like, I mean, it's just pretty amazing. Then he's good with being a leader, too, I think. The people like that, that's good like that, people follow. They follow in their footsteps, I think.
I can't speak on it too much, but I would guess he comes off as a good leader. I mean, I can tell you one thing, he knows how to score. So,
yeah.
Typically, if you can score some points, man, I think you'll be okay. They can find a role for you somehow.
Yeah. I am looking forward to the media day in Tuscaloosa coming up.
You're talking about, so when I hear media day, I immediately think of the one in Tampa, but you're talking about maybe with the football team?
Yeah, for the football team.
When's that?
I went to it last year.
Oh, okay. So you're saying it's for like, yeah, Alabama members, I'm guessing?
Yeah.
I got you. So what'd y'all do? Did y'all go like interview them or something? You said it's media day. What? Remind me kind of what they had going on.
Well, they was people like Ryan was there and Wyatt was there last year. You know, I think the local media is able to come in there and talk to them because I've seen a lot of local media. But I can walk up to them and ask them questions.
I think Roman Harper was there for that. I think he was, you know, walking around kind of asking some. So with you guys from Yay Alabama that attended, so because I know the media was asking regular. So were y'all just asking questions too, or were there other things for y'all to do? So you were with the regular media? How did that work?
Well, you could see where the regular media was like over on this section, like where you come in the door, they was like a wall of some sort. And, and y'all, the media people like you and Gary Hayes and Wyatt and all of them was able to walk up to them and interview them. Now, person, I could just walk up to them while they was being interviewed, but when they was just out walking around talking to us, you could just walk up to them and ask them a question, you know.
Huh. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I wasn't too sure how that. Yeah, I mean, I know media day normally, if you have like just regular media going around and they have people there for to be interviewed, players are out there, probably have a jersey on and whatnot. But I was just trying to figure out how that kind of coincided with like all the Yay Alabama members. Kind of like, I feel like that would be just a lot of people in one area, and I didn't know if everybody was asking questions together or kind of what.
No, it was separate. The media had the. Like y'all, the media had was separate from us.
I got you.
There was like a time. There was like a time they talked to them, and then they was free to talk to us.
Nice. You know? When's that coming up, Ella? So if anybody else listening might want to attend that,
it's the 8th.
Oh, so we got plenty of time.
The 8th of next month.
Okay, I was thinking it was before it started, so it's during training camp.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Good deal, man.
I'm excited about it. I want to talk to Kirkpatrick.
What do you want to ask him?
I just want to tell him that I got high hopes for him because to me, he's a good player. He missed out and done something that he shouldn't have done. But I've heard, you know, listening to different people that he is looking good in practice and workouts and all that. So I just think he's got talent.
Yeah, he does. You know? I mean, I've been watching. I put some plays of his on the breakdown that I did because I mean I don't know how much of a contribution. I mean, he's going to have a role. I don't know how big of a role that might be. We'll have to see. I mean, we know all the starters that pretty much are projected there, but I'm sure he's going to get plenty of opportunities. And anytime he got an opportunity, what, last season, man, I mean, he was head hunting. You know, I got a couple clips, man, him just taking people's heads off, always being around the football. I mean, personally, I love the way he plays. He kind of has that old school vibe to him. So, yeah, I'm with
him.
Well,
that's what I like. Is that, yeah. You know, so... And then, of course, I want to talk to Williams, the receiver. You know,
right, Coleman Williams.
I just think he had a sophomore slump, and things are better. It looks like he's gained a little bit of weight.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give him more. I don't know how you say it. Give him more confidence, you know, because he's a little bit bigger. I think he's gonna be the old Ryan Williams when he showed out. So
I think that weight will definitely help him kind of hold up a little bit. And the good news is, I mean, we're talking about getting guys blocking downfield. I'm looking at Jeremy Bernard right now on the stream, man. Just knowing that he was really crucial. When it came to that, out of the wide receivers, man, hopefully some of that added weight can help Ryan Coleman Williams with that as well, because we need some guys to step up, man, and be those dogs, right? Not just when it's time to catch the ball, but also, man, when you don't have the ball in your hands, when we need you blocking downfield, man. So hopefully some of those muscles can help him out with that too.
Yeah, and
I agree.
I might have to borrow some of your good smelling stuff there, Christian.
Some good smelling stuff. What are you talking about? Are you talking about the cologne collection I got?
Yeah. You told me if I ever needed to use some, you'd hook me up. So I'm
I can point you in the direction, but you know what, man? You're my guy. I can spare a couple sprays, man. I got some smell good for you.
I'm just kidding with you. No, I'm gonna bring it with me.
Listen, you just tell me what kind of you want. More of a summer vibe, a fresh vibe, more of a creamy vanilla. You want a gourmet, you know what I mean? A little niche fragrance. Like, I got some Middle Easterners. Like, listen, man, you tell me what you want. I got it. Man, I'm the plug when it comes to cologne, man. I got you there. I got you covered.
Well, I'm hoping that woman that I seen at that practice, that scrimmage I seen, you know, I told you about.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I might see that woman again.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We most definitely got to get you right on that smell good. Listen, a cologne, a good perfume, right, that leaves an impression. So we got to, you know what I'm saying? They're going to smell that before they really even, you know, get to speaking to you. So, we got to make sure you're all ready for, second date with this mystery woman that you met at the Yale Alabama event, man. We got to have you ready, man. I got you. Just make sure, listen, you just got to do your part. You gotta wear those boots now. Remember, you told me you got some new boots from Broadway. I need nice boots, nice t-shirt, whatever you got going, polo, whatever it is. I'm gonna bring the cologne. I'm gonna get you all right, man. We're gonna get you ready to roll.
Oh, I got a Yay Alabama polo. So
there you go. That'll work. Show her that you. I mean, clearly she knows you support if you're there, but show her you're offering the big bucks to the football program. That might grab her attention.
Ignored her last time, so this time I'm on just talk it up.
That might be right here. I'm seeing it on the video I'm watching. I saw a little middle aged blonde woman. She's taking pictures of the offense live, man. Did she have blonde hair, Ellis?
Yeah, she did have blonde hair.
It might have been her on the video, man. We might have found her, man. Go watch the stream, man. Go see if that's her. Hey, Ellis, we appreciate you. Always good to hear from you, brother.
All right, roll tide.
Yes, sir, roll tide. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We wrap things up.
These are not all the side effects of Creon. You can learn more at 1-800-633-9110.
Before your appointment, visit creoninfo.com. That's creoninfo.com.
A national championship team covering a national championship team.
The best sports talk in the state.
Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Into this Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick reminder before we hit these phone lines, check out our friends over at Lamprella Law Education Advocacy. If you haven't already, make sure if you guys need any type of representation, you're looking for a lawyer, anything, they'll help you out. Any criminal defense matter, NIL, academic misconduct, they've got you covered. And even more importantly, they do it at a very, very affordable rate. They'll beat out the competition. I can guarantee that at Lamprella Law Education Advocacy. And on top of the representation, they also offer services for high school, graduate, and college students. For example, academic career planning, subject matter mastery, exam and test taking preparation, all that good stuff. They've got you guys covered. So make sure you guys check them out. Lamprello-law.com is where you can find them. Schedule yourself a free consultation today at Lamprello Law Education Advocacy, the official representation here on the Miller's Edge. 205-342-9904. Let's go to the phone lines. We got Chris up next. We got Corey from Trustville. Corey, welcome in.
Hey, Christian, how you doing this afternoon?
Corey, what's up, man? I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. How much do you remember your experience of having to face Derrick Henry in practice?
I remember it pretty well, man. It's hard to forget when you got to do this, like 6'4", 240 pounds across from me. I'm just playing. But no, I do remember. Now, I will say this, because I know a lot of people, when they ask that question, they're thinking like, man, like, how is it to tackle Derrick? Well, the reality was I only had probably maybe 6 opportunities to tackle Derrick the whole time we were in school together. And that was because we only, went full tackle in scrimmages. So you'd have, three in the spring. You'd have 2 scrimmages in A-Day. Then during fall camp, you'd have 2 scrimmages. So 5 times a year, I played with him for 2 years, right? Yeah, because he was gone in 2016. So technically, I only got maybe 10 total opportunities. And that was if we were lined up against each other. So probably less than that. But I remember it pretty well. What you got? You asking how it went? What was my record?
Well, I thought maybe in practice y'all went good on good and the week of games and maybe y'all got the opportunity to face off and one of y'all got the best of each other and maybe some good collisions happened and stuff like that. He was a bull and you still see him in the NFL now, and he's still doing his thing. And you just wonder, he got the best of you. You got the best of him, and just stuff like that. Because we all remember his legendary 2015 season. And I don't think you didn't start that season, but just
no
being the backup, you probably remember taking some good licks from him in practice.
Well, believe it or not, so good on good period, we definitely did that, right? That was Coach Saban loves good on good, right? And really, that was when things really got serious, right? Other scout team periods, I mean, you guys going against scout team, which when I played with Derek, I mean, I was mostly on the scout team. 14, I redshirted that year. I didn't play at all. I just was really just a redshirt, so I was on the scout team, which meant I was going against him every day because I was on the scout team and he was obviously with the offense. And then in 2015, I spent a lot of time on the scout team as well. I did not start. As a matter of fact, I really just played special teams in 2015 outside of getting some opportunities late in games in 2015. But then again, still went against him. But that spring, we had some injuries, and I was bumped up and playing, you know, with some ones, twos reps a little bit here and there. And so I definitely – then when we went ones versus – in the spring scrimmages, we always go ones versus twos. So that spring, I went against him a lot in those situations. Surprisingly, people always ask that question. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not saying, number one, it is not easy to tackle Derrick Henry. I'm not saying that. However, the biggest thing is with him being a taller, bigger back, man, you just got to go low and you got to try to stop him before he gets started. And another thing is, you know, with me being an edge player, it was probably different. I'm sure if you asked Reggie Ragland and Sean Dion Hamilton, the inside backers, Ruben, that I played with, their, you know, experiences of going head to head with him was a little bit different. You know, when I'm coming off the edge, it's a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? Like, normally I'm either crashing down, say he bounces something to me, then I'm making contact. I'm not like having to meet him in a hole where that's a much different collision. The times I did have to go up with him, really I was coming off the edge. He would maybe bounce something. And I'll be honest with you, I always just went low. And I feel like from what I remember, number one, I would remember if he just ran me over. I never got like some ran over or a big stiff arm, but I remember I would just go low and make sure I just secured the legs and my teammates would come in and help clean things up. But he's definitely been throwing that stiff arm for a long time, though. He was doing that all through practice, I can tell you that much. And clearly he's perfected it because he bullies people with it in the NFL now. But yeah, that's the hardest thing about tackling him. It's not necessarily him running you over, as you guys see at the NFL level. It's that stiff arm. It is lethal, man. And it comes out of nowhere. And if you don't tackle the right way, I'm telling you, he will take your face and palm it and throw it in the dirt. That is worse than getting ran over by him, honestly.
Was there a receiver that you played against, either played against or in practice, that was just got under your skin, not verbally, but just from his physical play, that you just had your number, that either, like I said, in practice or just on the as an opponent, that just got now, of course, yeah. The linebacker doesn't normally cover a receiver, but if you dropped in the coverage and covered a receiver that just got under your skin, you just had a hard time.
Yeah, I'll answer that real quick, but we got to go, so I'll let you hang up and I'll answer that as we get out of here because we only have like 10 seconds. There is nobody really that just got under my skin. But going against Amari Cooper on the scout team in 2014, and I did have to line up against him sometimes, was, I mean, definitely probably one of the hardest tasks I've ever been given on a football field. He was incredible. So that said, we got to get out of here. We got Wyatt coming up next. I appreciate all you guys for all the support. Tuning in, we got the Josh Payton interview. I'll upload that again later on today for you guys that missed it. And we'll keep on rolling tomorrow on the Talking Tuesday right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.